Are you part of the in crowd? Are you an insider? Or are you a
outsider?
A lot of popular entertainment centers around whether you're getting in or whether you're on the outs. Do you belong or not? What are the implications of this? We're going to talk about belonging and being on the inside right here, right down the corner of truth and life. Hello and welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall, and we're talking about belonging and being on the inside as opposed to being left out. Now, none of us ever, I think, would say that we enjoy being left out, at least not of anything that we'd rather be in with. A lot of older sitcoms, I was watching Frasier the other day, which is not that old, but it's not, you know, it's not like a classic like I Love Lucy. It's more recent than that, but it's still not a modern one now. But so many of those sitcoms of that era and younger had an episode in there somewhere about getting in to a club. I think Happy Days had one, at least one with getting into the lodge, and you know, being included in maybe an exclusive club, and are you good enough to get in? And then, you know, it depends on the club. Maybe you have to get in even deeper. And even in this day and age, on college campuses, you have fraternities where, you know, there's been a lot of controversy around rituals and getting in and hazing and pledging and things like that to get included. And yet people go through these things because they want to be in, and they want to be included and be accepted and belong. And these are all things that are really important. And even just something like a fraternity, which is I guess, you know, technically people who join a fraternity might consider themselves lifelong members, but generally it's just for, you know, 3 or 4 years of college, 4 years of college maybe, or 3 years, depending on when you get in. And so it's not like the rest of your life beyond perhaps being able to say later, oh, I was in this fraternity and that's, you know, very cool. But, yeah. And yet, even something that's not a huge part of life becomes very important of getting in and being accepted. And, of course, then the flip side, and on these sitcoms and things, a lot of the comedy comes with not being accepted and not making it, and why you don't, or, you know, some last-minute thing or some stupid mistake or foolishness keeps you out. And so, you know, you're so close, and or even that you got in and then you messed up, and so, no, you're out after all. And, you know, so they build comedy around that. But in real life, that would not be a source of comedy. That would be a source of maybe a lawsuit. It would be a source of very much unhappiness and regret and disappointment. And again, we hate feeling left out. And of course, so with all that, I was thinking about, well, how does that translate into how we view God and religion? So when you think about in terms of God and religion and how that might play into this idea of wanting to be accepted, want to be on the inside, so often human religion plays on those same themes and has a lot of the same feel, to the point of even that, you know, if you're higher up in that religion, it's, you know, you've moved up, you've become an insider all the more, and maybe you know more secrets, and maybe you're more able to go into the inner sanctum, and or you have a higher level of acceptance by God, or a higher level of enlightenment, depending on the religion and its view of God or the higher power, whatever. But in either way, you know, you have to get in. And then once you get in, you have to move up. And again, so often what we're striving for is this idea of feeling accepted and being, you know, doing whatever we have to do well enough to be accepted, to be good enough. And then we might look at practitioners who are further along and say, well, you know, they are more advanced than I am, and I am going to try to move up by maybe there are more rituals I need to do or more study. And that's, in one way or the other, pretty standard in most human things, including religion. I watched a special on, I think it was Netflix, and it was about the Bhagwan Shish Rashnish. And there was, you know, there was these avenues of being in the inner circle and being accepted all the more and a higher level of whatever. And that just so plays into our human desire for inclusion and status and acceptance. Of course, the problem is nobody likes to feel left out. And so if you don't make it, or if there's this sense of, well, if I make a dumb mistake, I could lose my status or even not be accepted. And when it comes to matters of religion and you know, us considering our soul or our immaterial nature or whatever, well, that becomes all the, you know, it's like the stakes are higher. And we go, well, man, now what do I do with that? And even in Christianity as it exists sometimes as a religion on earth, it's just the same way. And we treat certain people as maybe higher and deeper, and you know, they're keepers of the sacred knowledge and that sort of thing. So first, let me just say, as a pastor, that I guess that would put me in that category of the advanced. You know, I am the keeper of the secret knowledge, and I will impart this on to you. And so let's kind of dig through that. And the first thing I'll tell you is that's just not true. And I'm not telling you it's not true just because, well, I've been on the inside now, and I tell you that it's not all cracked up. That's not what I mean. What I mean is, that's not even in the Bible. In fact, the Bible specifically and clearly teaches the opposite. And this is why so often we have to be careful, because there are plenty of people who have taken what we call Christianity, which is supposedly supposed to be people who follow Christ, but they have converted it into a world's religion. And so a lot of people don't understand the difference. And they say, well, isn't Christianity religion? Because I went to church and there were rituals and all this. And well, yeah, there's a lot of Christianity, or a term I like, I got from another teacher, is churchianity. That is a religion, but that's not what the Bible teaches. And a lot of people have just kind of grabbed out parts of it and created their own human thing. And yet, if you just read the Bible, and by the way, you don't... I mean, it is important to understand the Bible as far as to just read it correctly, but I don't mean read it because you have to have a secret decoder ring. It's just, if you're not familiar with the Bible, because it wasn't written in American culture, and what we have in English is a translation from older languages, it is possible to misunderstand it, but not misunderstand it because you don't know the sacred secret knowledge. It's just you might not have enough info, but you could easily be taught it. And it's not a secret. And it's not, the knowledge of going through it is not something that you have to earn the right to learn. And much of it you could just read and you'll get it without even needing some help of understanding the cultural or even just the meaning of a few words. And this idea of of, you know, moving into higher levels is one of the ones that you don't need a Bible dictionary or a book of theology or anything to understand, because Jesus spoke very plainly and very clearly and straightforwardly on this. And what he said in a couple places, you'll find it in a couple places in a couple different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he said that if you want to be great in his kingdom, you must learn to be the servant of everyone. And he said, whoever will be greatest among you will be the servant of all. The last will be first, and the first will be last. And what he basically meant was, those who try to promote themselves don't get promoted. And those who serve, that's where it is. And then he says, well, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and God and the Creator and all that. And he came and he washed the disciples' feet and he hung out with terrible people and he loved on them and he healed them and he served them, and he didn't promote himself. And he didn't serve himself. And he didn't get others to wait on him. He took care of them. And then he said, and that's your model of how I've lived here on earth is your model. And so whoever is going to be great among you, what will distinguish him is not that he's achieved a higher level, it's that he's achieved a lower level of being a servant, of being humble, of not promoting himself. And that's the difference. And for me, personally, if you were to attend and come to Bean's Corner, the way I personally express that is, while you can refer to me as the pastor of the church, you may not use that as my name and venerate me and say, good morning, pastor, because my name is Ira. And I don't think it's appropriate for me to be venerated, for me to be lifted up and treated as somehow above everyone else. And that bothers some people who are like, well, but you're the pastor, so we're supposed to respect you. Well, yeah, respect does not require veneration. It does not require elevation. It simply requires respect. And the respect that is due a pastor is not really any different than the respect that's due everybody else the same. And elsewhere, the Bible compares the church and the people in the church to parts of the body. And it said, the ones that already receive honor, have a lot of honor, don't need any more. But we honor and we especially pay attention to those with less honor. Because again, this idea of it's not about the best and the brightest and getting into the middle and getting up. And when we come to God, we actually can't come to him. He comes to us. And we don't earn anything from him. He gives to us, and we just receive it. We're receivers. We're humble servants who are given gifts. And those gifts are God's forgiveness, God's salvation, and heaven and eternal life, and a status as his children. And all these things are given. None of these things are earned. We do not earn entrance. We do not somehow, by going through rituals or, you know, hazing or whatever, somehow gain access to this stuff. He says, no, you didn't come to me. I'm coming to you. So today, do you understand that God's come to you? Think about that today.
Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Bean's Corner Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. or 10 a.m. for a service of music, celebration, and teaching. To listen to this show, other shows, messages, get announcements and updates, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or visit our Facebook page. Thank you for listening. We remind you to seek truth. This has been Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.